Chapter 2, Programming the Universe, the Science of Belief. Just when we were getting comfortable with the laws of physics and biology and thought that we could master nature, everything changed. Suddenly, we were told that atoms no longer look like tiny solar systems, that DNA is not quite the language that we thought it was, and now we find that it's impossible for us to simply observe our world without somehow affecting it. Well, in light of such discoveries, we now find ourselves at the curious crossroads where we must sort out which of our beliefs about the world are true, which ones aren't, what works, and what does not. An interesting byproduct of doing so is that our sorting out also gives us a new understanding of where and how science and spirituality fit into our lives. With the foundation of what science once held sacred crumbling in so many respects, and quantum physics telling us that when we watch something, we change what we're watching, the line between science and spirituality has become very fuzzy. And it's for that very reason that the scientific community has viewed the power of belief so skeptically. When we talk about the power of invisible forces like belief, to many scientists, we've crossed the line that separates science from everything else. Maybe it's precisely because this line is so hard to define that we often learn about it only after we've crossed it. My personal belief is that by relaxing the boundaries that have traditionally kept science and spirituality separate, we will ultimately find the power of a greater wisdom. With the new discoveries showing that consciousness affects everything, from the cells of our bodies to the atoms of our world, belief is clearly at the forefront of that exploration today. Interestingly, belief has also become the place where science, faith, and even spirituality seem to be finding common ground. Beliefs that change our bodies. When I was in school, I was taught that regardless of what I may think, feel, or believe, the world around me is unaffected by my inner experiences. No matter how powerfully I experience love, fear, anger, or compassion, I was told that the world would never be directly affected by my experience. This is because my inner experiences weren't really real, I was told. They were just something mysteriously happening to me, alone, inside of my brain, and were insignificant in the overall scheme of the universe. An entirely new genre of scientific investigation has forever changed that view. The title of a 1998 study from Israel's Weizmann Institute of Science says it all. It reads, "Quantum Theory Demonstrated. Observation Affects Reality." In terms that sound more like a philosopher's hypothesis than a scientific conclusion, the paper describes how we affect reality and do so just by watching it. This powerful effect has attracted the attention of innovators ranging from doctors and scientists to clergy and artists. The results are clear. The implications are mind-boggling. Rather than being buffered from our world and the things that make life what it is, the studies prove that we are intimately connected with everything from the life inside of our bodies to the world beyond our bodies. Our experience of consciousness expressed as feeling and belief is doing the connecting. The act of us simply looking at our world, the feelings and beliefs that we have as we focus our awareness upon the particles that the world is made of, changes those particles while we're looking. With such discoveries in mind, it's natural to question what role this relationship between observation and reality has played in our everyday lives in the past. Have we already seen the effects of our observations and simply not recognized what we're seeing? Could our role as participators explain mysteries, such as spontaneous remissions of disease or miraculous healings? And if so, what do these connections tell us about our own well-being? Beliefs have long been known to have healing powers. The controversy is less about whether or not the healing happens and more about if it's actually the belief itself that does the healing or if it's the experience of belief that somehow mysteriously triggers a process that leads to the healing. Well, for the layperson, the distinction may sound insignificant, like splitting hairs. Belief Code 11 tells us why the distinction is important and may be the key to the outcome, stating that what we believe to be true in life may be more powerful than what others accept as truth. While doctors can't explain precisely why some patients heal themselves through their beliefs, the effect has been demonstrated so many times that at the very least, we must accept that there is a correlation between the body's healing itself and the patient's belief that the healing has taken place. Healing beliefs, the placebo effect. In 1955, H.K. Beecher, the chief of anesthesiology at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, published a landmark paper entitled The Powerful Placebo. In his paper, Beecher described his review of over 24 medical case histories and the findings documenting that up to 1/3 of the patients in the studies healed from essentially nothing. The term used to describe the effect was the placebo response, or, as it's more commonly known, the placebo effect. The Latin word placebo was used in early Christian traditions as part of the ritual reading of Psalms, chapter 116, verse 9. Translated into English, the words read, "I shall please the Lord in the land of the living." Although there is sometimes controversy regarding the Latin translation of the original Hebrew text, the word placebo itself is unaffected. It's generally accepted to mean, "I will please" or "I shall please." Well, today the word placebo is used to describe any form of treatment where the patient is led to believe that they are experiencing a healing procedure or receiving a healing agent, while in reality, they're given something that has no known healing properties. The placebo can be as simple as a sugar pill or common saline solution, or as complex as an actual surgery during which nothing is done. In other words, while the patient has agreed to participate in a medical study, they may not know precisely what their role in that study will be. To test the placebo effect, they may undergo all of the experiences of surgery, including anesthesia and even incisions and sutures, while in reality, nothing is added, nothing is removed or changed, no organs are treated, no tumors are removed. What's important here is that the patient believes something is done. Based upon their trust of the doctor in modern medicine, they believe that they've experienced something that will help their condition. In the presence of their belief, their body responds as if they had actually taken the drug or undergone an actual procedure. In May of 2004, a group of scientists at Italy's University of Turin Medical School conducted an unprecedented study investigating the power of belief to heal in a medical situation. The study began with the patients receiving drugs that mimic dopamine and relieve the symptoms of the disease. It's important to note here that the drugs have a short lifespan in the body and last only about 60 minutes. As the drug wears off, the symptoms return. Well, 24 hours later, the patients underwent a medical procedure where they believed that they would receive a substance to restore their brain chemistry to normal levels. In reality, however, they were given a simple saline solution that should have had no effect upon their condition whatsoever. Following the procedure, electronic scans of the patient's brain cells showed something that is nothing short of a miracle. Their brain cells had actually responded to the procedure as if they'd been given the same drug that originally eased their symptoms. Commenting on the remarkable nature of the study, the team's leader, Fabrizio Benedetti, stated, "It's the first time we've seen the effect at the single neuron level. It may be precisely because of this effect that William James, the man known as the father of psychology, never actually practiced the medicine that he was trained to offer. In an article written in 1864, he left little doubt as to why he suspected that the real power of healing was less about the procedures themselves and more about the way doctors help their patients feel. My first impressions about medicine, he said, are that there is much humbug therein, and that with the exception of surgery, in which something positive is sometimes accomplished, a doctor does more by the moral effect of his presence on the patient and family than by anything else." For as long as there have been people, there have been attempts to alleviate the suffering and heal the medical conditions that they experience. While the history of healing can be traced back over 8,000 years, modern medicine is considered to have begun only in the 20th century. Before that time, it's possible that many of the remedies used for healing may have contained very little active ingredients. And if this is true, then the placebo effect may actually account for a large percentage of 8,000 years of healings and may have played a key role in helping humankind to survive into modern times. So, if life-affirming beliefs do, in fact, have the power to reverse disease and heal our bodies, then we must ask ourselves an obvious question: how much damage do negative beliefs carry? How does the way we think about our age, for example, actually affect the way we age? What are the consequences of being bombarded with media messages that tell us we're sick rather than ones that celebrate our health? Well, we need look no further than our friends and family and the world around us to find the answers to these questions. Since the attacks on September 11th, 2001, for example, we've been conditioned to believe that we live in a world where we aren't safe. It should come as no surprise, then, to learn that the general level of anxiety in our nation has increased during that same period of time. Studies in 2002 indicated that as much as 35% of the individuals exposed to the trauma of 9/11 could possibly be at risk for developing post-traumatic stress disorder. 5 years later, that possibility became a reality when the high school-aged children who initially experienced America's worst terrorist attack began showing an increased demand for anxiety-related treatment. In March 2007, the Yale Medical Group reported on a study conducted by the Anxiety Disorders Association of America, ADAA. The paper documented that as the age group that witnessed the attacks has matured to college age, a growing number of students are coming to college with a history of mental illness with an increase after 9/11. While intuitively, we know that positive beliefs of safety and well-being are good for us, these statistics appear to be confirming what we already suspect, that while life-affirming beliefs can heal us, negative beliefs from the shock and trauma can hurt us as well. Here's the proof coming from a medical perspective. In the previous example, while the perceived danger may or may not be real, it's the student's belief that they live in an unsafe world that contributes to their stress. In the constant state of being told that there's a general threat, yet with nothing specific that they can do about that threat, they find themselves in the situation that affects so many in our country today, the limbo state of fight or flight with nothing to fight and nowhere to go. While the experts can argue whether or not there's an actual threat and to what degree the threat exists, the point here is that if we feel and believe that we're not safe, our bodies react as if the threat is real. While in our minds we may say, oh, it's a relatively safe world, the fact is that we've been told by people of authority to watch out. So it's no surprise that our nation has been a little on edge since September of 2001.